Welcome to this edition of PowerPoint with Jack Graham. A little later in the program, we'll tell you how you can get a copy of Dr. Graham's book, CultureWise. But first, here's his message, the living Word of God.
When you look at the Mona Lisa is not on trial. You are. Your aesthetic values, your understanding of art and history. And when we look at the Bible, God's Word, we are on trial. Our lives, the Bible, not only do we read the Bible, but the Bible reads us. And the Bible speaks to us personally, and the Spirit of God moves across the pages of Scriptures and into our hearts, and the Word of God gets off of paper and into our lives. Bibles, and turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. We need to know and love the Word of God. The most powerful influence in my life is God's Word. And certainly as God has spoken to us in the skies, as we saw last message, the heavens declare the glory of God. And God has spoken to us in the Spirit. By His Spirit, we are led as the children of God. And certainly God has fully and finally spoken to us in His Son, Jesus Christ. But today, we want to focus on how God has spoken to us by His Scripture, by the Word of God. God's Word is the living, eternal Word of God. Beginning in verse 23 of chapter 1, 1 Peter. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. The Word of God is inspired by God Himself. The Scriptures have supernatural origin. Timothy, the book of Timothy, tells us in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And that word inspiration or inspire means to breathe out. God breathes out His Word. And just as oxygen and breath are essential to life, so is the breath of God essential to our spiritual lives and to our futures. And when we receive the Word of God, we have the life of God in Scripture. We have the breath of God in Scripture. Now, when God breathed out His Word, He breathed through by His Spirit into the hearts and lives and personalities and vocabularies and backgrounds of human writers. Certainly, these men were not automatons, they were not machines, they were not computers, which simply recorded by dictation what God said. But God so formulated their backgrounds, God so engaged their personalities, God so developed their vocabularies that when they wrote, these holy men of old, as they are described in Scripture, they wrote with the very words of God. They included everything word by word that God included and wanted included, and they omitted anything that God did not want included in His words. Now, every human author is different. For example, in the Old Testament, we hear and see God speaking through a man by the name of Amos. Now, Amos was a redneck farmer. He was a fig picker from Tekoa. And when he writes, you can almost smell the clods of dirt emanating from the message and the proclamation that Amos gave us. On the other hand, God used a man like Isaiah, who was a prince and a prophet and was eloquent and articulate. And when you read the writings of Isaiah, the Word of God given through Isaiah, you find the vocabulary and the elocution much different. When you get to the New Testament, you see the same thing. Much of the New Testament was given to us humanly by Paul the Apostle. Paul was a learned Jewish rabbi. He was brilliant. He was astute. He was logical. He was a great thinker, one of the great minds in the history of the world. And so when he wrote, we often dive into the deep things of God. On the other hand, Peter was a fisherman. He was just a salty fisherman. And when he wrote, the fire of the Spirit of God was burning brightly in his life and in his words. So I simply say that of the 40 authors of Scripture, approximately 40 authors of Scripture, who gave us the Word of God over a 1,600-year span, all of them were different, all of them were unique, but the one essential is this: God spoke His Word. And Jesus Himself said, "My Word will never pass away." Heaven and earth will pass away, Jesus said, but my word will never pass away. Not a jot of it, not a tittle of it, not a mark of it, not an abbreviation point, not one word. He said every word proceeds from the mouth of God. And therefore, the word of God is infallible, that is, in all that it teaches and all that it affirms, it is correct and right and perfect. And the word of God is inerrant, that is, there are no errors in the scripture. Can you imagine a perfect, pure God breathing out error? Certainly not. God's word is accurate. There are pulsars that are like clocks in outer space, ticking away. And we're told that each pulsar signal ticking away through time and eternity have only missed 1 second in 30 million years. Truly, the heavens declare the glory of God. Just 1 second, they say, in 30 million years. But I tell you that the Word of God is more accurate than that. The Word of God, forever settled in heaven, endures forever. The living, eternal Word of God. And when you deny the authority of Scripture, you are denying the authority of God. And in effect, when you deny or distort the authority of Scripture, you deny and blaspheme the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit in giving us the Scriptures, and you even defame the deity of Jesus Christ, who is described in the Bible as the incarnate Word of God. His very name is the Word of God. And while the Word of God and the God of the Word are not identical, they are inseparable. You cannot separate God from His Word. And Jesus came believing and teaching and preaching the Word of God, affirming the Old Testament and proclaiming the new and the living way of salvation. The consistency of the Bible through and through from Genesis to Revelation concerns God's plan for history, God's plan for man, God's way of salvation. And again, from the very beginning when God created the heavens and the earth until the closing chapters of the Revelation when the new heavens and the new earth is established, there we have the Word of God consistent, clear, concise, telling us how to go to heaven, how to know Jesus Christ, how to experience eternal life, how to know and worship God. This is the Word of God. The writers were not inspired per se, as Shakespeare was inspired or a fantastic musician would be inspired. It's not that the writers were inspired, but the writings are inspired. The Word of God, the Bible, is inspired, and God used these men to give us His Word. Now, having said that, what does the Word of God do in our lives? What is the impact, the force of the Word of God in our lives? Well, there are seven sacred symbols in the Word of God that teach us and tell us what the Bible does in our lives. In 1 Peter 1:23, we're told the Bible is like a seed to bring life. Like a seed to bring life. For it says, "We are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever." A seed has life in it. And therefore, when you scatter the seed and nurture the seed, and care for the seed, water the seed ultimately will produce fruit. And therefore, the Word of God is like a seed. When you share the seed, when you scatter the seed, when you sow the seed, there is life and power in that seed. You know, if mankind could create a seed, what a remarkable thing it would be. But only God can create a seed, and only God can give us His Word. When we preach the Word of God, there's power in it. That's why I preach the Bible, because the Scripture tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. Now, you might as well plant marbles and expect corn to grow as to try to bring people to Jesus Christ without the living seed of the Word of God. That is God's method. That is God's message. The seed is the Word of God, and it is our responsibility as believers to scatter the seed everywhere we go. The psalmist said, "He that goeth forth and soweth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." And as we go personally sharing the seed of the Word of God, as we publicly proclaim the Word of God, people are born again from above because there's life in God's Word. But not only is the Bible a seed that brings life, but the Bible, according to Psalm 119, 105, the Bible is a lamp that brings light. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." We're living in dark days. And as wise as mankind has become, we're still stumbling in the darkness without the light of Scripture. People find themselves living in a fog, not knowing which way to go, because they do not know the Word of God. God's Word is a lamp in the darkness. It is a light in the darkness. And this is the way God speaks to us. By His Word, His truth enlightens our minds and brightens our path. So, Christian, know your Bible. It is a lamp, a light to display truth into your heart. Not dead truth, but living truth that will change your life.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham. And today's message, the living Word of God. Right now, it feels a bit like our world is coming apart at the seams. And as believers in Christ, it's critical we clearly represent a biblical worldview to a watching world and bring the healing and hope that's so desperately needed. We want to equip you to provide the answers our world is asking for by sending you Dr. Graham's book, CultureWise. It's our thanks for your gift today to help take the healing power of the gospel to more people around the world. So please call today to give and request your copy of CultureWise. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Now let's get back to today's message, the living Word of God.
But not only is the Bible a lamp that brings light and a seed that brings life, the Bible is bread that brings strength. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. And here we hear Jesus speaking as he encounters the devil. The devil has unleashed some temptation against Christ. And what does Jesus do? Well, he quotes the Scripture. As a matter of fact, Matthew 4:4 is a direct quote from our Lord of Deuteronomy 8 and verse 3. Jesus had memorized this Scripture. He knew this Scripture. So when the devil came against him, he said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." There's another reason I believe in the inerrancy and the verbal inspiration of Scripture. That is that all the Bible and all of its words are inspired. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's what Jesus believed. So the Bible was not simply inspired by great romantic or spiritual thought or theme, but rather the text itself is recorded for us. And Jesus said, every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. But the point that I'm making here is the bread is food for our spiritual nourishment. This is spiritual food. Job said, "I have esteemed thy words, O Lord, more than my necessary meat." Maybe it's time we start skipping a few meals and spending that time devouring and digesting the Word of God. We don't live by bread alone, but by the living word of God. These are words to live by. And I know in my own life, if I don't spend time in the Bible every day, I go through that day weak and anemic and ineffective. The Bible is strength and power and food. Most of us wouldn't think about going very many days without food. And yet how many of us go day after day after day after day without the spiritual food of the Bible? I'm talking about your getting into the Bible yourself. That's a mark of maturity. You know, babies have to have somebody to feed them. And it's fine to come to church, and you ought to come to church and read and hear and study the Word of God in church. But that shouldn't be the only time we study the Word of God, just when somebody comes and sort of spoon feeds us and pats us on the back on the way out of church and burps us on our way home. When we grow up, we learn to feed ourselves. And I'll tell you something else we learn to do. We learn to feed others. Paul said, why do I have to keep talking to you about these elementary things? You ought to be teaching others. He said, grow up. It's the Word of God that matures us and makes us into men and women of God. One great musician said that the secret of his greatness was planned neglect. Planned neglect. He planned to neglect some things in order to give full and focused attention on his music. If you say, well, I don't have time to read the Bible, I don't have enough time in my day to have a quiet time, you're just too busy, and you need to start getting into some planned neglect. Start neglecting, planning to neglect some things in order to discipline your heart, mind, soul, and body in the Word of God. The Bible is spiritual food. But not only that, the Bible is a sword to give protection. Ephesians 6:12 tells us of the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We're in a war and we need protection. We have an enemy. Our foe is Satan, and his efforts are intense in these last days. And only those who know and love and live and trust the Word of God will be able to protect themselves. No human weapon will suffice. Paul said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but spiritual and mighty to the pulling out down of strongholds. Again, when Jesus was tempted by the devil, when the devil came against him at a full frontal assault, he simply pulled out the sword of the Spirit, and Jesus, who is God incarnate, submitted to the authority of Scripture in his life and the power of the Word of God over the works of the enemy. And so should we. How shall a young man cleanse his way? By giving attention to God's Word. That's what the psalmist said. And in this filthy world in which we are bombarded by all kinds of salacious and sexual and sensual information, and in this dirty world in which we live, in which many voices are vying for our attention, we need to be cleansed and purified and sanctified by the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. That's how we stay clean. That's how we stay pure. That's what protects your marriage. That's what protects your family. The Word of God. It's a sword. The Bible is a critic to bring correction. Look in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Discerner, which is the word critic. God judges us and God corrects us and God reproves us by His Word. That's why it's so ridiculous that we have a generation of some who think that their job is to criticize the Word of God. No, the Bible is not for our criticism. The Bible is given to critique and to criticize us, to correct us and reprove us. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction and instruction in righteousness. That's why God gave us His Word. And sometimes when I look into the Bible and I see myself in the mirror of God's Word, I get sick to my stomach at my life and how much I fall short of God's truth. And therefore, God then comes and cleanses and works within me. You see, when you read the Bible, the Word of God's not on trial. You are. It's like when you go to a great museum. Suppose you were at the Louvre and you're looking at the Mona Lisa. And you stand there and look at the Mona Lisa and you say, that's not so hot. Well, let me remind you, when you look at the Mona Lisa is not on trial. You are. Your aesthetic values, your understanding of art and history. And when we look at the Bible, God's Word, we are on trial. Our lives, the Bible, not only do we read the Bible, but the Bible reads us. And the Bible speaks to us personally, and the Spirit of God moves across the pages of Scriptures and into our hearts, and the Word of God gets off of paper and into our lives. Quickly, the Bible is a hammer that brings power. Jeremiah 23, 29, is not my word like a fire and a hammer that breaks to pieces? I've known the hardest of hearts that have been broken by the power of the infallible truth of Scripture. Why would we try to use any other method to reach people for Christ and His church but the Word of God? People are interested today, is there a word from God? Is God saying anything? From the smallest child to the most mature adult, is there a message from God? And the Word of God is like a hammer, and the Holy Spirit wields the hammer and drives the message home. Why would we try to outworld the world with methods and techniques and strategies and programs that aren't given to us in Scripture? The Word of God brings people to Jesus. The Word of God breaks the hardest of hearts. And then finally, the Bible is a fire to bring warmth. Is not thy word like a fire? Jeremiah 23 and verse 29. I have to speak the Word of God. You know why? Because I feel like Jeremiah. Thy word was like fire burning in my bones, and I could not forbear. He said, I cannot help but speak because the fire is burning in my heart. And the reason that I speak the Word of God, the reason that I have given my life for the testimony of Scripture, is because I can do no other. The Word of God is burning in my life. And it can burn in your life as well. Like those men who walked with Jesus along the road to Emmaus. And after reflecting upon that experience with the resurrected Christ, they said, did not our hearts burn within us when we walked with Him in the way? And He taught them and instructed them in all the Scriptures. Because in the Bible, the Word of God, we get to know the God of the Word, Jesus Christ. Because all of the Bible is about Jesus. It's all the message of Christ and salvation and life in Him. And if you want life today, believe the Word of God by receiving Jesus Christ, God's Son, and living and obeying that Word all of your days in the power of the Holy Spirit. A great Christian of yesteryear, Sir Francis Bacon, I believe, was dying. And he said to his son, "Son, bring me the book." And his son said, "Father, what book? You have many books in your library." To which the man replied, "Son, bring me the Bible, the only book for a dying man." I tell you, the only book for a dying man and the only book for a living man, or woman, boy, or girl, is the eternal Word of God.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham, and today's message, the living Word of God. A lot of Christians are asking right now, what can I do to help turn our culture around? The answer is, you can bring the healing power of the gospel into the public square. And we want to help you do that by sending you Dr. Graham's book, CultureWise, as thanks for your gift today. You'll discover what God's Word says about issues like the sanctity of human life, evolution, and other big topics facing our culture today, so you can be equipped to be a loving influencer for Christ. So call now and give to help mend our broken culture with the gospel and request your copy of CultureWise. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Pastor, what is your PowerPoint for today?
Jesus said in Luke 21:33, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." This means not one jot, one tittle, one mark, one abbreviation point, not one word of God's word will ever pass away. God's word is infallible. In all that it teaches and all it affirms, it is correct and right and perfect. And the word of God is inerrant. That is, there are no errors in the scripture. Can you imagine a perfect, pure God breathing out error? Certainly not. God's word is accurate. And when you deny the accuracy and the authority of scripture, you deny the authority of God in your life. It's as simple as that. And in effect, when you deny or distort or doubt the authority of scripture, you deny, doubt, and even blaspheme the work of the Holy Spirit who has given us the scriptures. It's also true that you even defame the deity of Jesus, who is described in the Bible as the incarnate Word of God. His name, like the Bible, is the Word of God. And while the Word of God and the God of the Word are not identical, they are inseparable. You cannot separate a man from his Word, and you certainly cannot separate God from his Word. Even Jesus came believing, teaching, preaching the Word of God, affirming the Scriptures, and proclaiming the new and living way of salvation. That's why you can trust the Bible through and through, from cover to cover. From the very beginning of Genesis, when God created the heavens and the earth, until the closing chapters of the Revelation, we have the Word of God, consistent, clear, concise, sovereign, and supernatural, telling us how to go to heaven, how to know Jesus Christ, and how to experience eternal life and abundant life. This is all found in the Word of God. And you can trust God's word for your ultimate authority in life and in truth.
And that is today's PowerPoint. Remember, when you give a gift to PowerPoint, we'll send you Dr. Jack Graham's book, Culture Wise, as our thank you. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131. And remember, PowerPoint is a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. Well, join us again next time. Dr. Graham brings a message about how you can keep growing stronger in Christ every day. That's next time on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
PowerPoint with Jack Graham is sponsored by PowerPoint Ministries.